Happy Halloween, everyone. It's Elise here, and I'm back. I'm back with the first episode of Alberta, and I'm so excited and also so exhausted from getting 6 episodes out this month. I feel crazy that I said that I would do that. So firstly, thank you so much if you're listening again and have been listening all month. I hope you're not getting sick of me. I really appreciate it, and it's nice to see some listeners from outside of Canada too. So hi, I see you. And if you're a new listener, welcome, and I really hope you enjoy what you hear. So you may or may not know, but my intention with this podcast from the beginning was to go province by province telling stories. However, as I'm starting to get into the groove of how this whole podcasting thing works, I'm realizing that sometimes you just can't rush some stories. So I may jump around a little bit here and there so that I'm able to really give the time necessary to each of the stories and tell them the way that I want to. So today I'll be getting back into my regular format. I'm going to be bringing you the story of Calgary's Prince House. This house has a pretty wild history and is no stranger to full-bodied apparitions. I'm also going to be talking about a private residence in Drumheller that has some definite activity. And you'll be hearing some tidbits from the owner himself. So sit back, grab yourself a handful of Halloween candy, and enjoy.
Hello, Justin here.
Hi, how are you? This is Elise.
Hey, Elise, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good, we finally connect.
Yeah, no, it's good. I was excited when you first talked to me and mentioned that you wanted to do a podcast on the home. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
This first place I'm going to be talking about is the private home and residence in Drumheller, Alberta, owned by a man named Justin. And for those of you not familiar with Drumheller, it's sort of the hub of dinosaurs and dinosaur discoveries in Canada. It's home of the Royal Tyrrell Museum and in the heart of the Badlands. There's an amazing amount of history, and even just in the land itself. I could go on and on about history there, but it's definitely one of my favorite places to visit. The Johnston House was built in 1911, and with Drumheller being incorporated as a village in 1913, this would make the home one of the first and oldest homes in Drumheller. The home was built by Dr. Robert Johnston for approximately $1,900, which would have been a lot of money at that time. Dr. Bob was born in Brockton, Massachusetts, to Irish parents James and Margaret Johnston. They lived in Iowa for a period of time, and that was actually where his parents eventually passed away. Robert served in the American Expeditionary Forces before coming to Drumheller. During his 18 years there, he served the community, was a member of the school board, he was also a member of the Masonic Lodge as a Freemason. Robert was very intelligent and very well liked by the community. He was a dentist for many years, and his office was located above the drugstore at number 332 Center Street. This is why he was known as Dr. Bob. He was also a family man above all, and he and his wife Blanche had 2 children, Bobby and daughter Marjorie. Suddenly, and very tragically, Dr. Bob's life was cut short at the young age of 45. On October 10th, 1936, Robert was getting ready for a hunting trip with his friends. He was getting his equipment ready and loading up his car when he accidentally fired a shot from his 16-gauge shotgun. He was struck in the lower jaw and killed instantly. This event took place in what is now a storage area under the sun porch. The death of Robert Johnston rocked the small community. He was given a full Masonic funeral by his Brothers of Symbol Lodge, and the service was huge. Many were not even able to enter, as there were so many people. Everyone went. I will attach his obituary on the blog just so you can see, and it's so completely evident that he was such a valued person to everyone. So maybe it's not super unusual then to know that Dr. Bob doesn't appear to have left his property. He obviously loved his home and his town so much and has no desire to leave. Now, before I get into the stories of what's been happening there, there was sadly one more tragic death that would befall the Johnstons. Dr. Bob's daughter Marjorie would take ill and pass away in the hospital on January 19th, 1939, at the young age of 14. Her cause of death was ruled hemolytic streptococcal septicemia. This is an infection in the blood, and it's sort of unknown how it was caused or why it happened. Her brother Robert and his mother then moved to Edmonton, where Bob Jr.'s father would have no doubt been so proud of his son's medical accolades that he actually accumulated over the remainder of his life. He passed away in 2017. I don't really blame them for sort of moving away from the family home, as two tragedies happening a mere 4 years, I think less than 4 years apart, would have been really difficult to stay there. Now, along with Dr. Bob, it's believed that Marjorie is the young female presence that's been seen and felt in the home. So Justin is the current owner, and he told me there have only been 5 families that have lived in the home since it was built, which in over 100 years is pretty good. That's not very many families. Justin has lived in Drumheller his whole life, and he was looking for a home and specifically interested in historical homes. The Johnston house was up for sale, and Justin fell in love with the house. So I'm going to put a couple photos up. It's really beautiful. It's such a nice house. It was also really close to his Masonic lodge, because Justin, just like Dr. Johnson, is a Freemason. This was no doubt the family home that he was looking for. Now, I asked Justin if he knew that there had been some interesting activity there, or if he even believed in the paranormal before moving in. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, there was some funny stuff with the owner. When we initially bought the house, he loved the house. There was only 5 families that have lived in that house since 1911 when it was built. So yeah. He had such passion for the house. So he did some renos on his own. So when I first moved in, I wanted to change some of the plumbing in one of the areas that he had added an addition to the house in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that he did a lot of the building, I had spoken with him, and he said he would come, so he was curious about seeing the layout too.
Mm-hmm.
So he said a couple funny things when we had that initial meeting. He asked me if anything weird has happened, and that time nothing really had, like, you know, just some odd occurrences, but you don't chalk it up to anything really
right.
Paranormal. He kind of caught me off guard with that question, and then I said, well, you know, not really. And he said, well, old houses, they tell a lot of stories, and he says, this house in particular will speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, that's kind of an odd thing, but I didn't really press the issue.
Yeah.
Being a small town, I knew his daughter well, and I kind of mentioned it to her,
mm-hmm.
and she said, yeah, it's funny, you know, Dad would never stay in the house if we were gone, if we girls were gone. He would always go sit and read a book out in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. She says, yeah, he's pretty confident that it's haunted, so he didn't like spending time there by himself. So.
Mm-hmm. So before you moved into your house, did you believe in the paranormal? Have you always been interested or a believer, or did it start after you moved in?
I don't know. I was always interested.
Mm-hmm.
And open. I'm usually open to just about anything, you know, to try to experience on my own and,
mm-hmm.
and decipher whether there's anything there. But I don't think I believed on the level I believe now.
Right.
Like I had mentioned, we Freemasons, we believe in an afterlife, and that there's something more to us than just what we're here earthbound. But
mm-hmm.
once you move into the house and you start experiencing these things and you talk to people and they all describe the same thing, and
right.
yeah, there's something to it here. So
it appears that pretty early on he knew that there were some interesting things going on. As he learned more about the previous occupants, it seemed to kind of give him some comfort. So he actually keeps a photo of Dr. Bob up in the house as a little homage to the owner. Some of the other things that have occurred in the home are as follows.
So we moved in November 2014, and I think our meeting, I think it was in January of 2015 that we had with the previous owner.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was shortly after that my wife had described she would go downstairs and she's doing the laundry or whatever, and she was never comfortable going downstairs. Mm-hmm. But she had mentioned that felt like someone was playing with her hair when she would go downstairs, so she didn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind of a non-believer, but just couldn't explain what was going on there. She said it kind of gave her the creeps going downstairs.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that had happened. And I think it was after that that I had my first experience. And that was the time I was watching TV by myself. I'm kind of a night owl, so I was watching TV by myself and downstairs. And heard, plain as day, somebody sit down behind me, like on the leather couch. Didn't know what was happening, and I knew I was by myself. So turned around, and nothing was there.
Wow.
So I quickly got up and decided to go to the safety of my room upstairs.
Yeah.
So I kind of chickened out and ran away from that one. But, you know, you kind of get the feeling of someone with you or being watched, I guess, is how most people would describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Often throughout the days. But
right.
You don't really pick up on that until you kind of accept the fact that, hey, there must be something here. And then you start seeing these little signs and indicators and hearing things and stuff. So.
And Justin has kept, he writes down sort of little things that happen. So he sent me some of those, and pretty good record of stuff that's been happening. So March 2016, a friend and clairvoyant from Calgary came to visit and was able to pick up on a young girl's spirit on the stairs. She also picked up the patriarch of the house, who of course would be Dr. Bob. She also noted that he saluted her and had been a soldier at some point, which we do know is true. She did feel an older female presence who she called Elizabeth, and noted that there were also many pets surrounding the area as well. She felt that they were friendly, and this is something Justin seems to have believed the entire time. He says he's never felt threatened. He says he just feels like he's sharing their home. He has also noted multiple times that he's heard conversations and music in other areas of the home. He can't quite make out what they're saying, and of course, it appears it's in an unoccupied area of the home, at least unoccupied by the living. There are also occasional bangs, like heavy footsteps and creaking on the stairs. In talking to Justin, it seems like these are all kind of just becoming part of living in the home. He has had people who have seen the apparition of a young girl kneeling beside a bed in the upper bedroom. Her hands are clasped in front of her as if she's praying before bed. Now, one of the people who has reported to him seeing this apparition was his son. He told Justin June 23rd, 2016, that he had seen a little girl. He described her as shadow-like, in a dress, and had curly hair. He said that she was in his room dancing beside his bed. He said that at this time, his kids hadn't been informed of the suspected haunting. They hadn't really talked about it with them, so there wasn't really any way they would have known. When his daughter heard what her brother had said, she admitted that she had also seen the little girl in her room by her bed. Neither appeared to be scared of her, and they named her Marjorie, as they had just been uncovering more details about Dr. Bob and his family. So I'm going to let Justin tell you about some of the other things that have happened in his home.
Some of the regular stuff that happens, I've seen, you know, doors will open and close by themselves, and heavy doors, they're, you know, and they're old, so
mm-hmm.
they've been painted 3-4 times over, so they're, you know, they don't like to move on their own.
Yeah.
And hearing footsteps and different things in the house at nighttime. I could have sworn I've heard conversations or a radio playing in another room, and I go around there and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
But one time we had an interview set up with Global, actually, and they were going throughout the house and they were filming clips, and the door slammed downstairs. And the reporter at the time, she asked me, well, what was that? And I said, oh, well, that's the door closed because Dr. Bob doesn't like us going through his room.
Yeah.
And we traipsed through his room. So, yeah, that was one of the incidents that we had. And,
mm-hmm.
and she was quite taken back from it. But in the past year, I've had somebody that has actually seen the little girl that's in the home.
Okay.
They've witnessed someone praying in the window
mm-hmm.
against the bed. And that was fairly recent. like you said, we have had the doors open, close. We've mm-hmm. had paranormal teams. I've had two different paranormal teams come in the past 3 months, and each have captured voice that has said their names of the spirits and has identified me as the homeowner.
He also had another interesting observation on a day in 2018 when he saw what looked like the fringe of the hem of a dress disappear through the door of the guest room, as if someone was just walking through it. And also a family member of his felt something brush against her leg multiple times in the hallway one time. Another friend saw a mist-like yellow lab run across the porch one time. So that was really interesting and plays into what his clairvoyant friend had sensed with many animals in the area. It would be really interesting to know if there had been a pet cemetery there at one point. The biggest thing that I've gotten when I've talked to Justin is that he's obviously so proud of his home. And it seems to have awoken a drive within himself to understand more about the paranormal. So he's been participating in some different investigations. I actually posted about the Victorian style seance they had in his home on the 26th. So he's also open to investigators coming into his own home to investigate. However, of course, he's very strict about who he lets inside his house. He has no desire to upset the spirits present and mess up the harmony that seems to exist. So in this case, this is obviously someone's private home, so this is not up for exploration. It's really neat to hear the stories, but please make sure you respect that this is a private residence.
To me, it's a part of me now, and that home, I love that home and probably mm-hmm. will never leave it.
So this last story today is about the Prince House in Calgary, Alberta. I talked with Barb, the communications specialist for Heritage Park, and she sent me some amazing stories, as well as some history on the property and its family. Peter Anthony Prince was born in Quebec in 1837 to parents Enoch and Marie Angeline Prince. He lived for a period of time in Ontario where he learned to be a millwright, and where he would marry his first wife, Margaret Corrigan, in 1857. In 1866, they moved to northern Wisconsin, where he became an American citizen and worked with the Northwestern Lumber Company. 20 years later, he and his wife and their two children would come back to Canada, where they would settle in Calgary, Alberta. Peter would find himself the manager of the Eau Claire and Bow River Lumber Company. Peter Prince worked hard, and he was good at his job. Soon he would be able to build the home of his dreams, which was actually based off of plans for a summer cottage in an 1893 issue of Scientific American. I believe it was the Architecture Digest or the Architecture Edition. The house was and still is an elegant three-story, 3,000 square foot home that was originally at 238 4th Avenue Southwest. The home was so beautiful that early Calgarians would often take drives to see the beautiful home. Now, sadly, Margaret would not be able to enjoy her home and the fruits of her husband's hard work for long because a mere 4 years later, in 1898, at 58 years old, she would pass away from diabetes. In a newspaper article from February 10th, 1898, which I'll have up on the blog for you, the memorial said that Mrs. Prince enjoyed fairly good health up to the early part of the previous summer. But since that time, so for nearly a year, she had been suffering from an illness. She would become weaker and weaker until passing at home. It was abundantly clear in this memorial article that she was generous and well-loved, who was very much missed by the community along with her family. So tragically, this would not be the first death to happen in the Prince House. Not one, but three more would pass in this home. Now, I think when people hear Peter Prince had four wives and three of them passed away in the home, you immediately kind of get this creepy feeling like, is there something sinister at work here? Did he facilitate the deaths? But as you'll come to see, it appeared to be just bad luck and tragic circumstances. So it wasn't unusual and actually very common in this time for men to be remarried and even pretty quickly, I think to our standards, men were not thought to do very well without a woman running the house. So Peter Prince married Emma Wallen in 1900, but just a short while later in 1902, she passed from tuberculosis. Now, a particularly sad part of this story is she was confined to the third floor due to her condition. She passed away in the home, and many people believe that she's still there to this day. It seems that she had actually been quite ill for a long time, and even described as being an invalid pretty much from the beginning of the marriage. So one more funeral was held for yet another Mrs. Prince. Peter would marry again to a woman named Rosa Douglas. They would marry in 1903, but sadly, his new wife would take ill with cancer. Her sister Emily Whitlock came from England to nurse her sister during this time. Her young daughter Nora would accompany her, and they would live in the home helping Peter and Rosa. In 1907, however, Rosa succumbed to her cancer, and the family mourned yet again. Now her sister Emily was also mourning as her husband Frank Whitlock passed away right around this time as well. Emily and Peter eventually fell in love and married in 1909. This time, Emily would outlive Peter, and they had 16 years together before he passed at the age of 89 in 1925. As you've learned from previous episodes, and clearly it's very evident in this one, it was natural in this time for people to be nursed in illness and to pass away in their home. So the Prince house saw the deaths of Peter Prince and three of his wives. Emily and Nora continued living in the house. Emily passed away in 1944 and Nora in 1965. I don't know for sure if Emily passed in the home as well, but as far as I can tell, Nora absolutely died in hospital. And this was confirmed by Barb from Heritage Park. So speaking of Heritage Park, the home was donated and moved to the park in 1967, and that's where it remains to this day. So Heritage Park is a historical village attraction in Calgary, Alberta. It's proudly one of North America's largest and most successful living history museums. Now, with so many people and staff working in and around the Prince House, we've gotten some really fascinating accounts of paranormal activity that people have witnessed over the years. As I mentioned before, many people believe that Emma Prince, Peter's second wife, is still present on the third floor where she spent her last months. Many strange occurrences happen on that floor. It should be noted that the third floor is closed off to the public. Apparently, the stairs are quite narrow and steep and dark, as this was the floor where the servants' quarters were. There are reports that night security guards have seen lights on in the third floor, though there's supposedly no electricity up there. Thinking it could be a light from another source, it would of course be checked out, only to find that nothing was out of the ordinary and no such lights were on. Another story about the third floor is that a security guard saw a window on the third floor that was open and swaying, sort of open and closed. Yet again, nothing was out of the ordinary. Now I want to talk about perhaps the most infamous spirit in the home. There are many reports from both guests and staff who have seen the apparition of a woman in a white flowing gown with a baby. Sometimes she is seen either wrapping the baby or rocking or walking around with the little one. So I'm going to read you a story that Barb emailed me. A woman named Sherry was with a school group in the late 80s and says that she was on the second floor of the home and looking into the nursery. She saw a woman dressed in period clothing. More specifically, she noted a long white dress, a high lace collar, and noted that the dress was a flowing type of material. The woman was pale with plain features and blonde hair pulled back into a twist. When she saw her, she was wrapping a baby in a blanket. She then picked the baby up and sat down in a rocking chair in the corner. Sherry moved on looking through the rest of the house, and it just never occurred to her that the woman was anything but a reenactor volunteering her time. A few years later, she came back. She went into the Prince house again. She went upstairs, but didn't notice anyone in the nursery. She then asked one of the Heritage Park employees what happened to the lady who used to be in the nursery. The employee looked confused and said, "What lady?" Sherry then explained her story of her last visit, and the employee just stared at her. Sherry then said, "Okay, I guess she's not in today." And the employee then assured her, "There was never anyone in those rooms." Sherry insisted, "Oh no, there has to be. The last time I was here, there was a lady in the nursery with a baby." The employee clarified, "The only people who go into those rooms are the curator and the cleaning staff. The rooms are actually always locked when guests are in the park because the rooms are filled with artifacts." She further emphasized that they never have interpreters working inside the rooms. Sherry just couldn't wrap her head around what she was saying. It just didn't make sense. She would later say, "It never dawned on me that she could have been anything but a real person. Even the baby seemed real." After a few years passed and Sherry was reading the Calgary Herald, when, as it was close to Halloween, she saw an article named "Famous Ghosts of Calgary." It was then when she read about the famous woman in white with a baby at the historical Prince House, she finally realized just what she had seen. I love that story. It's phenomenal. And to see a full-bodied apparition in that much detail and that solid where you just have no doubt that it's a real person, that's amazing. So there's actually no concrete idea about who exactly the woman in white is. So that makes it all the more mysterious. But people seeing a full-bodied apparition of this woman and the baby is very common. So there is another apparition that Barb wrote about who has been seen in the home. She writes that occasionally there's a spirit seen sweeping the back bedroom with, quote, "an old corn broom." Now, apparently, if you visit or have visited the house, it's the same room that has a mannequin in front of the mirror. When people see the woman sweeping, apparently no amount of knocking on the window can get her attention. She says there was a couple in the house one day and they told the interpreter on the main floor that the maid upstairs was great. She was such a good addition to the home, but they couldn't get her attention. The other interpreter then told them there is no maid and there was no one else in the home. The identity of the spirit is also unknown. So you might already be thinking this. I definitely am. But I'm getting some residual energy feelings from this apparition specifically. So maybe this is just the playback of a servant that once worked in the home. If you're unfamiliar with residual energy, I've talked about this before and I'll repost the information on this episode's blog. Now, if you think I'm done, I am not. This is the Halloween episode, so of course, there are more stories from the amazing Prince House. An interpreter from the park named Bob had an experience in the front hall of the Prince House. Years ago in December, Bob was in the front hall of the home, ready to welcome park guests. A woman came in and they said their friendly hellos. She was looking around the room and moved to the foot of the staircase. She took out her camera and took a photo of the fireplace. The fireplace has an arrangement of three mirrors above. She then looked down to check the photo and exclaimed, "Oh my God, I didn't expect to see that." And she quickly left the house. Bob was left standing there wondering what the heck just happened. And about an hour later, a security guard stopped by and told Bob about a very concerned and distraught woman who had spoken to him at the front gates. She had shown him a photo she took of the front hall fireplace, and in the mirrors above, the third mirror on the far right was the face of a young woman. So that's pretty creepy. Obviously, Bob could attest there was no one in the house. This woman was the first person to come in, and it was not her reflection. The last Prince House story is one that Barb actually witnessed herself. "It's not uncommon, especially around Halloween," she said, "for paranormal investigators and mediums to visit the house and even stay overnight." She said that most people believe the third floor is where they'll experience most of the activity, but it's actually the second floor. In October of 2009, Barb took a writer and a paranormal guide into the Prince House. They were following the last group on an evening tour, and the writer was really hoping for some knocks and bangs and some sort of sighting. He carried a small recorder in his pocket so he would be sure to catch all of the stories and anything that they were talking about. After the large tour was over, Barb hung back with her two guests and took them up the dark stairway to the even darker third floor. They wandered around from room to room, hoping to catch something. The writer noted that while they were up there, the recorder had shut off. He listened back and couldn't place exactly when, but it was right around the time they arrived to the third floor. They sat on the floor with the recorder in the center and asked some questions. "Is anyone up here?" No answer in any form came. They asked a couple more things and they didn't get anything. They then went to the second floor and asked some more questions. Again, "Is anyone here? What connection do you have to the nursery?" And it was at this time the recorder beeped and turned off again. Thinking possibly it was a battery, they shone a light on it and checked, but it was fully charged. They continued asking questions like, "Are you upset that we're here? Are there children here? Do you feel confined?" And the recorder shut off again. The group then began talking about a portrait that Barb had recalled seeing at one time with a little girl. So they were looking around for it, but they didn't see it where she thought that it had been. They were looking through into one of the bedrooms and noticed a picture that appeared to be almost completely black. They stood there trying to decipher what the picture was of and realized that it was the picture of a mother bent over a baby. And at that moment, the recorder began to beep again and turned off. They went down to the main floor where the recorder worked just fine, no issues. So they decided to test it. So if the recorder was on the main floor, it worked fine, nothing happened, but if it was brought up the stairs, it would beep, flicker, and turn off. I got the chills. I got the chills from these stories. They're crazy. This is so amazing. And that portrait sounds haunting, and I wonder if it was just coincidence that the portrait is related to what people see often on the second floor, or maybe this was the answer to their question about the connection to the nursery. This brings me to the end of the episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed this talk about the Johnston House and the Prince House. I will, of course, have all of the information, articles, photos, anything that I can get up on the blog for episode 10. Obviously, I also want to send out a huge shout out and thank you to Justin for talking with me and being so open and enthusiastic about his story. And of course, to Heritage Park and their amazing, awesome communication specialist, Barb Monroe, for all of her help, all of her stories for this episode. Both of these people made it very easy for me as they sent me some incredible research that they'd already done themselves, incredible detailed stories. So thank you two so much. As I said, the Johnston House is a private residence, but you can absolutely check out the Prince House at Heritage Park. I will link all of the pertinent information on my website under Maps and Tours. And of course, if you go, let them know who sent you, where you heard about it. Tell me if you experience anything yourself. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Real Scary Podcast. Email me at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. And check out my website at realscarypodcast.ca. I will be back to my normal every other Tuesday schedule on November 19th. So until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.